भगवते वासुदेवाय What we were discussing on Sunday. His memory is functioning. Functional.
Vice Chancellor,
what do you recall?
Karma Yoga, that's a good start,
yeah. Actually, in Krishna consciousness, how we think about Vidhi Yoga, which is actually in Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
Whereas we have Sankhya Yoga, which we do by philosophical speculation.
Yeah. How we act in practice. What else?
Sacrifice.
What about sacrifice?
Well,
what about it?
I love sacrifice.
Sacrifice is good, that's definitely part of it.
It was always a part of duty, right?
Yes.
And doing duty is part of... Well, Krishna says that...
Yes. Who is the sacrifice being offered to?
Krishna always.
Right. Who else was mentioned in the section?
Demigods.
Why should we be offering sacrifice to the demigods? They supply everything. Yeah. Okay, good. Yes, if Arjuna goes to the forest, there's one thing that he'll still be doing. What's that? Yeah, eating. Right. You can renounce all sorts of things, but one thing you won't be doing is renouncing eating. And so where does the food come from?
Rain.
Yeah, and so therefore one has to... Otherwise, if you eat food which is not offered, what happens? Yeah. Interesting how Krishna's coming at it. And so therefore one should perform one's sacrifice. And yes, out of a sense of duty, that's good. Who's an example of somebody who performed sacrifice out of a sense of duty?
Janaka Maharaj.
What was the last verse? Don't look at your books. Something about a self-realized person. Not necessarily, actually. It had more to do with example. The first word starts with a Y. The second word also starts with a Y, and the first two words are both identical. Yes. Whatever standards are set by great men, then sit in the chair. Whatever standards great men set as examples, then common men will follow. Right? Yeah. So now, we're going to look at some more examples. Who else is then an example?
Krishna himself.
Very good. You haven't been reading this section of the Bhagavad Gita, have you? Huh? Good if you have. Yad yad acharati shrestas. And then Krishna says... I don't get frustrated now that I have to put on my glasses. I just put them on.
It's a lot easier to read with my glasses on than try to struggle with them off.
Right. So we're starting on text 22. Right? Go back up. So there's some interesting points in this section that we're going to discuss today. There are some interesting, there's karma, the mood of a worker or a person who acts, and the consciousness of the person, or the different types of consciousness, and the type of consciousness that ideally we'd like to come to, in fact, and also the consciousness of a person who's in the material concept of life, what that's like, as described. Okay, right. Krishna says, O son of Prita, there is no work prescribed for me within all the three planetary systems, nor am I in want of anything, nor have I a need to obtain anything. Right, so he's, I guess the idea is of a detached person. Detached person goes to the forest, renounces everything. Right? This is Arjuna's idea of a renounced person. But Krishna is saying here, I'm a renounced person. Right? I don't have any reason to act. I don't have any duty to perform. Right? But yet, still, I am engaged in prescribed duties. Right? So he said previously, the example is important. So I'm engaging in prescribed duties. For if I ever fail to engage in carefully performing prescribed duties, O Partha, certainly all men would follow my path. And in fact, men do try to imitate or follow Krishna. But Prabhupada gives the example is Anukaranam and Anusharanam. Two different ways. One is Anukaranam is imitation. Right? So, people like to imitate Krishna's Rasa-lila. Yeah, Krishna's doing it. He's the leader of mankind. Whatever standards great men set, we should all follow. Right? What do you think? Good idea? Prabhupada makes the point, they like to follow the Rasa-lila, but when it comes to Giri Varadhari, right, lifting going downhill, what can they do? Nothing. So Krishna's saying, although Krishna does on occasion break the rules, right, to please his devotees, and ultimately to demonstrate he's the supreme person, he's the supreme enjoyer and the supreme personality, then he on occasion may transcend the rules and regulations. But what is Krishna in, or later on in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Pavitranaya sadhunam vinasaya chatuskritam dharma samsthapanataya. I have come to establish religious principles. So therefore, on the whole, Krishna follows the rules and regulations, the prescriptions. To set an example. Otherwise, what will happen? People will be degraded. If I did not perform prescribed duties, all these worlds would be put to ruination. I would be the cause of creating unwanted population, and I would thereby destroy the peace of all living beings. Getting back to this argument that Arjuna was using, if I go and fight, then I will be killing and will create Vana Sankara. But now Krishna's sort of turning the argument on him and saying, if you don't fight, you won't be following your duty, and so consequently you'll be setting a very poor example, and as a result of that, that will also inevitably end to the same result, Vana Sankara. We should, however, note carefully that although we have to, this is at the bottom, oh no, not exactly at the bottom, but this is supporting the quote, or the comment, the point that I was making. In the middle of the purport to text 24, just before that verse, Nai Tat Sama Charej Ja 2, just before that, in the paragraph before, we should, however, note carefully that although we have to follow in the footsteps of the Lord, we still have to remember that we cannot imitate him. Right, so Prabhupada's. Following and imitating are not on the same level. So anukaranam, imitation, not recommended, but anusharanam, following the instruction. Right. So, you know, if we see that there's a discrepancy between Krishna's behaviour and Krishna's instruction, then what do we do? What should we do? What example should we follow? We should follow the instruction rather than imitate the activity. We cannot imitate the Lord by lifting Govardhan Hill as the Lord did in his childhood. It is impossible for any human being. We have to follow his instructions, but we may not imitate him at any time. That's the problem. It's just reiterating that point for us. Yeah. Yes. And you know, this goes to show, this really is a warning in one sense, and it supports a lot of the things that we were discussing, or some of the things that we were discussing before in the second chapter. You know, renouncing things prematurely and going to the forest. If we're not qualified to do that, then we'll just fall down. If we try to take up a position that's higher than us, or a role or responsibility than is higher than us, then we have a very real danger of falling down. Again, at the end of that purport, the last paragraph, we should always consider the position of the Ishvaras, or those who can actually control the movements of the sun and moon, as superior. Without such power, one cannot imitate the Ishvaras, who are super powerful. Right? We are Ishvaras also, controllers. But, you know, little Ishvaras, not Param Ishvaras, or controllers like Shiva and Brahma and whatever. Lord Shiva drank poison to the extent of swallowing an ocean, but if any common man tries to drink even a fragment of such poison, he will be killed. And actually, you know, you see it these days, the young men and women smoke ganja and all sorts of things and then become crazy. There are many pseudo devotees of Lord Shiva who want to indulge in smoking ganja, marijuana, and similar intoxicating drugs, forgetting that by so imitating the acts of Lord Shiva, they are calling death very near. Huh? That's what my friends used to do. Oh, we'll offer our to Lord Shiva. Shiva Prashad. Concoction. It's a concoction. Similarly, there are some pseudo-devotees of Lord Krishna who prefer to imitate the Lord in his Rasa Leela, or Dance of Love, forgetting their inability to lift Govardhan Hill. It is best, therefore, that one not try to imitate the powerful, but simply follow their instructions. Nor should one try to occupy their post without qualification. There are so many incarnations of God without the power of the Supreme Godhead. Huh? We don't have so much of that problem, but in India you'll find incarnations of God wandering in the street all over the place. Right? As the ignorant perform their duties with attachment to results, the learned may similarly act, but without attachment, for the sake of leading people on the right path. So, this is probably the right... Just one thing that's in there. Surrender unto me. It's a good, interesting point. But there are three types of... I don't know why I've already got that. end of the barrel here. Is it a good one? Whiteboard marker. That's bad. So there are those who work with attachment and who are the initiator of their actions, and then as a result then produce the fruits or the reactions, if you like, and they're the cause of their action. Then there are those who act with attachment, if you like, but they give up the fruits, give the results to Krishna, knowing that he's the proprietor. Right? And then those who act without attachment. And this is the kind of person that Krishna is saying he is. I'm not attached to the results of my activities. This is called Sakam Karma Yogis. They act with attachment to the result. And then, depending on their degree of, just like we as devotees, very often, we're still attached to the type of work that we do, and we're still attached even to the results. Right? We can give examples of that. Would you go to work if your boss stopped paying you, Chaitan? No. Good example. Right? We go to work because we want a result. But we know ultimately that the results are coming not as a result of our doing, but ultimately as a result of Krishna's doing. Right? So therefore, we still have some attachment, so we keep some of the result, but we give part of the result to Krishna. So still with attachment, but with a degree of understanding. At this level, the Sakam Karma Yogi is attached to the results and thinks he's the doer and he's the producer of the result. Whereas here, there's a degree of detachment, but the action is performed with an eye for purification. And that's where I think a lot of us would fall into. Or we'd like to fall into that category. We may be extremely attached to the results. And still hanging off of dear life, thinking, yes, we're the doer. But we must have some realization. Of course, the more that we engage in these type of activities, the more purified we become. This is why, you know, going back to that point that we were discussing the other day, why it's recommended that the person give in charity 50%, say for example, because it creates a great deal of detachment. And dependence on Krishna too. If one acts in that fashion, then one becomes purified very quickly. Which will bring us to this point. This level here. Nishkam, karma yogi, acting without attachment. So, this section coming up deals with, you know, the ignorant, if you like, then those who have more knowledge, and then of course those who have full knowledge and detachment, and how. You know, to bring people to this point without disturbing them too much. You know, if we preach to people, you shouldn't be so attached, you should just give up everything and go and live in the forest. Right? People are going to think, are you crazy? We don't even do it ourselves. We can't do it. Right? In fact, you know, there's that story where Prabhupada, you know, I can't remember the circumstance, but Prabhupada was explaining to the devotees, you know, why we have temples, opulent temple worship and so forth. Prabhupada gave the example You know, if there was an article in a newspaper, you know, Bhaktivedanta Swami is sitting underneath a tree chanting Hare Krishna, you know, how many people are going to be attracted to that? But if he builds a big temple and announces there's going to be a big feast and a big festival for Janmashtami, then thousands of people will come. Right? See the deity, offer their respects, offer their prayers and so forth. So, you know, we want people to come to the stage of detachment. But we have to recognize, you know, where, at which level they're at. We want to come to that stage of detachment ourselves, I would think. Right? But we have to recognize where we might sit in terms of, you know, reality, practical day-to-day dealings. So let's have a look here. Low battery. That's a bit of a worry, isn't it? What test did we get up to then? 26?
Yes.
So as not to disturb the minds of ignorant men attached to the fruitive results of prescribed duties, a learned person should not induce them to stop work. So Krishna's saying, don't stop fighting, in other words, basically. Rather, by working in the spirit of devotion, he should engage them in all sorts of activities for the gradual development of Krishna consciousness. Let me just go back up here. I think I've missed out something. Yeah. Oh, okay. That's good. In the purport, Prabhupada says, therefore, a realized soul in Krishna consciousness should not disturb others in their activities or understanding. This is in the middle of the purport. But he should act by showing how the results of all work can be dedicated to the service of Krishna. Right? The learned Krishna conscious person may act in such a way that the ignorant person working for sense gratification may learn how to act and how to behave. Yes?
Is that the person is a karma or is it an ignorance?
Here? Sakha, karma yogi. Here? He's performing, say, karma kanda sacrifices and so forth with an eye to getting the result. Right? He wants the result for himself. For example. Okay? Now, what kind of a mentality does that person have? Oh, well, 14 minutes. That was a lie, wasn't it? Can you move up to my room, Michelle, and grab my... charge it from a, it's on the desk. Is that right? We'll see if we can plug it in somewhere here. Okay. Has anybody got a Bhagavad Gita I could borrow? Electronic version just kaput. So here's the mentality of a materially attached person, right? Materially attached person, what does he think? Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasaha ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. Kartaham, this is mentioned in a few places in the Bhagavad Gita. Kartaham, the doer. Karta aham. Karta means the actor, if you like. Aham means me. I am the doer. Huh? My favourite example is of the football, you know, the full forward swings around, bonk, kicks a goal, he comes running on the field. all his mates come up, you know, thinks he's the doer. But what does Krishna say? The activities are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature. Actually, he thinks he's the doer, but actually he's under control. He's not free to act, but he's under control of the material energy. I don't think we've got a... Yep, you got it. Oh, well, that wasn't it. That wasn't the one exactly, but it'll do the job. Now what we need is to connect it without turning that off. If we...
There's one.
Yeah, it won't reach. Up in my office in the under the bookshelf down the bottom on the right hand side, there's a power board there.
The bookshelf.
You know where the books are on the left hand side.
Yeah.
When you come in, if you walk in the door like this, you go to the left. On the right hand side in the cupboard there's a power board. We can plug that in here because we can turn that off. And so, this is a symptom of ignorant men, if you like. He thinks he's the doer, but in actual fact, it's the material energy that's the doer. It's the three modes of material nature, which are actually causing the action, if you like. Or not causing the action, facilitating the activity. And the cause is actually his material desires. Prakriti Kriyamanani. Two persons. So there's a difference. Two persons, one in Krishna consciousness and the other in material consciousness, working on the same level, may appear to be working on the same platform, but there is a wide gulf of difference in their respective positions. Right? So Krishna is saying, I don't need to act, but I am acting. Am I acting like an ordinary person? No. I'm acting for the benefit of others. Right? That's what he's saying. Basically, I'm acting for the benefit of others. My activities may appear to be the same. So he's saying to Arjuna, your activities might appear to be the same as Duryodhana and his crew fighting for some material benefit. But actually, the activities of a devotee, even though they appear to be the same as a materialistic person, their motivation is completely different. So the consciousness is different. Very important. You know, we're all performing pretty much the same, you know, we're performing the same activities as the people that we're going to work with. Right? You get up in the morning, they get up in the morning. We have breakfast, they have breakfast. Right? We're hopping on the same tram to go to work. And we're working in the same job. Right? What's the difference? What's the difference between us and, you know, the man in the next cubicle? Do you have cubicles at work? What do you have at work? Cubicle. Office.
Yeah.
What's the difference? What's the difference between Chaitan's going to work and his boss?
The first one would not eat Krishna prasadam and their life is not...
He doesn't eat prasadam, right?
Consciousness.
He probably didn't change his rounds.
He thinks he's the body.
And he thinks he's the body. Yeah, he thinks he's the doer. We can turn this off, it shouldn't be on. Yeah, that's good. I do need my notes. The person in material consciousness is convinced. Influenced by false ego. The person in material consciousness is convinced by false ego that he is the doer of everything. But a devotee understands otherwise. He does not know, is a materialistic person, that this gross and subtle body is the creation of material nature under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as such, his bodily and mental activities should be engaged in the service of Krishna in Krishna consciousness. Thank you. Change your battery or switch to outlet power. Right. The person in false ego takes all credit for doing everything independently, and that is the symptom of his nescience. He does not know that this gross and subtle body is the creation of material nature under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and as such his bodily and mental activities should be engaged in the service of Krishna in Krishna consciousness. So that's the difference. This is the attached person, if you like, right? Hence he's the ruler. And the detached person understands that actually no, everything is working under the orchestration and the coordination of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It all belongs to him, so therefore he's happy to, you know, work in cooperation with him. One who is in knowledge, conversely, almighty armed, does not engage himself in the senses and sense gratification, knowing well the differences between work in devotion and work for fruitive results. The knower of the absolute, Prabhupada says, the knower of the absolute truth is convinced of his awkward position in material association. Who feels awkward? Who feels comfortable? That's because you're a transcendentalist, that's why you're feeling awkward. In material existence, we're always feeling awkward, let's face it. He knows that he is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and that his position should not be in the material creation. Bewildered by the modes of material nature, the ignorant fully engage themselves in material activities and become attached. But the wise should not unsettle them, although these duties are inferior due to the performer's lack of knowledge. So the activities are inferior, but we shouldn't disturb them. Right? Interesting. Prabhupada says, men who are ignorant cannot appreciate activities in Krishna consciousness, and therefore Lord Krishna advises us not to disturb them and simply waste valuable time. But the devotees of the Lord are more kind than the Lord because they understand the purpose of the Lord. Interesting. Consequently, they undertake all kinds of risks, even to the point of approaching ignorant men to try to engage them in the acts of Krishna consciousness, which are absolutely necessary for the human being. So Krishna recommends that we don't disturb people, but at the same time, we know that Krishna wants us to help them. Right? So he's saying to Arjuna, set the example. Set the proper example. Right? So as not to lead people astray. Set the proper example. Therefore, O Arjuna, surrendering all your works unto me, with full knowledge of me, without desires for profit, with no claims to proprietorship, and free from lethargy, fight. Right? So free from the mode of passion, which is desires for profit, claims of proprietorship, and also kicking off the mode of ignorance, right? Free from lethargy, fight. Get up and set a good example. Then Prabhupada makes an interesting comment here. This verse clearly indicates the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita. Right? So if you're ever wondering what the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita was, then here it is. Get up and fight. Don't be lazy. And don't be attached also, right? Because sometimes we think, oh no, it's not going to work, it's too hard, I might as well not endeavour. Or, oh, it's going to be a lot of hard work, there won't be anything in it for me. Huh? Proprietorship. Lethargy. The Lord instructs that one has to become fully Krishna conscious to discharge duties, and here, listen to this, as if in military discipline. Right? You like that? Means in doing our duty, we should act as if in military discipline. What happens when you get told what to do when you're fighting in the army?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Right? Just like a child should follow the orders of the parent. Right? Is that right? Jagmai? It's not what I see sometimes when I see Russell Balassini and Yoga Maya walking down the street. Just like in the army, there's a number of things that you're taught, drilled into you. When you're in a minefield, what do? Freeze. Why do you freeze?
Yeah, exactly.
So in the army, they period, you know, they have drills, and then in the middle, someone says, "Minefield," and everybody's got to freeze. Then there's another thing that they teach. If you're being fired upon, what do? The answer is not freeze. That's what you do when you're in a minefield. If you freeze, what will happen? The enemy will pop you off. So when you're fired upon by the enemy, you're taught to run towards the enemy firing. Because then what they will do is pull their head in because they don't want to get shot. So you're taught, if you're fired on, run and shoot. That's what they drill it into you. If you're in a minefield, freeze. What happens if you're in a minefield and you're being fired upon? What do you do? What do you do? They teach you to freeze or they teach you to run? What do they get you to do?
Run.
Because it's better to shoot at the other guy and stop him from killing you, even though there's a possibility that you'll get blown up by a minefield. There'll be a little bit of collateral damage, but on the whole, most people will get through and they'll keep the enemy down. Right, so when you're in a minefield and you're being shot, you have to run. And the officer will give you the orders and you have to do it. Even at the risk of your own life. Isn't that amazing? Who'd like to join the army? This is why peace is preferable to war. But still, there has to be discipline. There has to be discipline in the army, for obvious reasons. And Prabhupada says here, for a spiritual life also, there has to be discipline, right? That's what it means. Becoming a disciple means following the order of a spiritual master. And what does Prabhupada say? Such an injunction may make things a little difficult. Right? Nevertheless, duties must be carried out with dependence on Krishna. Right? So we're running through the minefield, shooting at the enemy, praying to Krishna, get me out of here! because that is the constitutional position of the living entity. We're dependent upon Krishna. At all times, actually. Materialistic person is thinking, I am the doer. But a devotee is thinking, Krishna is the doer. I'll act out of duty, leaving the result up to him. Now, if we act in that way, very nice, at the end of the chapter. If we act in that way, then what happens? So Krishna illustrates. Here's what will happen. Arjuna is saying, if I go and fight, then I'll incur all of these sinful reactions, I'll be the cause of Vanashankara, people will be killed, da, 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 da. The Krishna says, no, if you do that, follow my injunctions, follow my teachings faithfully, then you'll become free from reactions. Right? You'll get free from the bondage of greedy activities. Next verse, he says the opposite. Prabhupada says in the purport to 31, in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, one may not fully discharge the injunctions of the Lord. Just a moment. But because one is not resentful of this principle and works sincerely without consideration of defeat and hopelessness, he will surely be promoted to the stage of pure Krishna consciousness. Right? So sometimes we don't have that full faith and that full determination, but we still try, and we'll get the result here. We still may act with attachment. Right? Some attachment is going to be there, but we give the results to Krishna in the end. Because we're not fully detached, but we want to purify ourselves to come to the stage of acting without attachment. But, and Krishna explains, here's what happens if you don't follow my instructions or guidance. Those who out of envy disregard these teachings and do not follow them regularly are to be considered bereft of all knowledge, be fooled and ruined in their endeavours for perfection. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Pretty straightforward. This.
Quite damning.
Huh?
This is quite a damning verse.
A damning verse.
Damning, because you think the majority of people are living.
We think the majority of people are very nice.
You do?
Is that what you said?
No, when one thinks that the majority of people are living like
that. Oh, are living like this, mm-hmm. Yes. They disregard Krishna's teachings. Don't follow them. And so, what are they? What's the word that was used before in the description of the consciousness of the person who acts on a material platform?
Vimuga.
Yeah. He's got a tie and a suit and a shirt and a fancy pair of sunglasses, and we think, oh, he's pretty sophisticated. But Krishna says, no, he's a mudha. Not just a mudha, a vimudha, which means big mudha. Right? Naturally, we're respectful to such. We're respectful to everybody, but at the same time, we do choose our association. Right? Okay. Now, I want you to divide up into groups. Right? Your usual groups, if you like. Here's the challenge. You are the only devotee of Krishna at your workplace. Something you might be able to relate to. Huh? You are the only devotee of Krishna at your workplace. How will you help your associates change the quality of their work from mundane to transcendental? Huh? You are the only devotee of Krishna at your work. How will you help your associates change the quality of their work from mundane to transcendental? So what I want you to do is prepare your list of strategies for changing the quality of the work of your workmates, and then we'll come back together and see if we can't come up with some guidelines on how to preach in the workplace. Does that make sense?